Welcome back to another episode of Operation Evil. I'm your host, Nayoka.
I'm Rachel.
We are on episode 98. Two more to go. And this one is titled Herman Gilbert.
Because he's got a badass name.
By Rachel.
You're always trying to be so serious and like, I swear, and I always ruin it.
No, it's perfect.
Professional.
It's the balance. Oh. I'm sitting on my sweatpants and I can't move, but I fixed it.
Like the leg of the pants?
Yeah, the leg of the pants got tucked into like my other leg. And then I got stuck when I tried to move. Anyway.
So I think we've talked about this before too, but you watched Unsolved Mysteries, right?
Yes.
Like, did you watch them later on when they came back on, like, the old episodes, too?
Not the old ones, but I watched, like, because they rebooted it, and I watched the first season of when they came back.
But, like, just a couple years ago?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so there was, what was the name? Robert Stack was the original, and then there was Dawn Ferrino or something like that. And so this story I'm going to talk about, the original episode was like, I don't know, season 4 or something like that, like back in 1989.
Wow.
I had the exact date in here somewhere, but, and I'll say what the date was, but yeah, the original episode aired in like 1989 and
we were little kids.
Yeah. And then the re-air with Dennis Farina aired, it was like season 8, episode 12. So, and that was like in 2011, I believe, something like that. So, this case is close to home. It happened in Claremont County, which that area is like Eastgate-ish area, like Mount Orab.
Yeah, that's not far. Or Orab.
How do you say Mount Orab? Do you say Orab or do you say Orab? Or how do you say it? Orab? Yeah. Okay. Because on the show, they were saying like Orab or something. And I'm like, that's not the way you say it. But like, so Brown County, Adams County, Claremont County, that whole area there, which I believe is like close to Eastgate. I could be totally wrong, but this is where the story comes out of. The little town was called Hamersville.
Never heard of it.
Me neither. I mean, I've heard of Mount Orab for sure.
Yeah.
But I guess evidently this little city was very, very close to Maysville, Kentucky.
Oh.
Like, Perman would go across the bridge to Maysville to this little store called Clyde's Supermarket. He would go there, like, I don't know about every day, but like enough to where the cashier, him and her would like strike up a conversation, like quick little banter or whatever, chit chatty. But yeah, that's how close it is to us. So yeah, Perman Gilbert died at the age of 46. He was only 46.
That's young.
And I know. And the pictures of him, like, he looks like one of our pawpaws. He looks like okay, this was 1982, but he just looks like so much. I'm that age, right? Like,
people did look way older back then.
Yeah. And oh my gosh, like he worked for GE. He worked as a repairman or like a serviceman for like appliances. So like refrigerators, washer dryers, things like that. So
do we like really, Herman?
Yes, we do.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So like I did the math and if he was alive today, he would be about 88 years old, depending on his birthday. Like, he could be 88 or 89 years old. So, it's really sad that his life ended so early. And we still don't, I'm sorry for warning, but we don't know. This is an unsolved case.
So, still unsolved.
Yeah. So, I thought it was really important to just keep this alive. And since maybe we have local listeners, you know, you just never
definitely
know. So Perman had, he was married to Joanne and they had 4 children together. They had 3 daughters, Gina, Jennifer, and Joni, and a son whose name was also Perman. And from what I read, the three daughters still lived at home at the time of the crime. And then the son lived in the Cincinnati area. Now, co-workers of Perman, they knew him as Gene because Perman's middle name was Eugene. So his co-workers called him Gene. He was very successful. Like I said, he was a serviceman for GE. And then on the weekends, he would do, like, you know, work on his own time. Like, he would make service calls to homes. And within those three counties that I was talking about, Adams, Brown, and Claremont. And just to emphasize, Hamersville was a very small town. And, like, most of that area is very rural. And, you know, it just, all these towns are small. They just kind of, like, lead right into each other. So it's not like he was driving way out of his way to go to these homes to service. You'll love this too. He was also a Freemason.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So he also enjoyed flying. He had this small plane and they said that that was his passion. Small plane.
That's
and
cool.
he made like a makeshift, runway on his farm. So I guess, you know, he would just come and go as he pleased in this small plane.
He had a farm.
Yeah. I don't really know, like, if it was like a, what, you know, you would call like a working farm, or if it was just so rural that it was just a lot of land, which to me it sounds like, because how would he have had time to take care of a farm if he was working
that much?
His wife, I watched the episode, of course, on Unsolved Mysteries is how I got this idea, but his wife was so sweet and so very heartbroken, of course. So on a Saturday, May 22nd, and that's coming up, May 22nd is coming up. In 1982, Perman left his home about 8:30 in the morning, and he was going to do some repairs at a home in, I think it was, I'm not sure of the county, but for that day, he had told his wife he would be home by 3 o'clock, and the little towns that he went to do service was Mount Orab, Georgetown, and Aberdeen. Hmm. And then the last place that he was seen was at that store at Clyde's Supermarket at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. He had went there. They said he went to buy a pack of cigarettes, went next door to the florist, and that's the last time that he was seen. The next time that he was seen was on Sunday the 23rd on the side of a road. There was a young boy that was on like a riding lawnmower driving down the street, or I'm sorry, the road. And he looks over and he sees a person, and it's come to find out it's Perman.
What was he doing?
He was dead.
Oh.
I'm sorry. No, I'm sorry. I don't know how to say it so delicately. And I'm sorry, I don't mean to laugh, but.
No, but I was thinking he was like broke down or something. Never mind.
That's all.
He was broke down. All right.
I let the imagination run wild there, didn't I?
You did.
Can we act like that's what happened? Right.
Sure. Sure.
So, yeah, Perman was, what they found was he was completely naked. He was, you know, laying, I think, face down in this ditch. He had been shot. Now, newspapers say 2 to 3 times. Most of them that I found said 3 times, but Unsolved Mysteries said twice, and that he was shot in the chest, and he was beaten. Someone beat him up. He had his face. I'll get in more detail about that too, but because I don't want to see, I always get ahead of myself. Okay, so. This is what we do know, okay? So we know that Perman was shot in the chest with a .38 caliber.
Okay.
2 to 3 times. He was beaten. He was naked. And he had been in the ditch for just a day because, like, you know, he did these service jobs. He was seen at 1 o'clock. And then he didn't come home that night. His wife was worried. His wife was like, scared to go out searching for him because she had a small child. So she did. It was about 3 o'clock in the morning. she called a friend and was like, have you seen Perman? And the friend's like, no. So she reported him to the police. It was the next day that this young boy found him. And then that evening, they found his van. Now, this van was like a, like, do you remember those vans that were like really huge back in the 80s?
A lot of like a work van?
Well, it was more like a custom van.
Oh, okay.
Like, this one was tan and brown, and it had big square windows. It looked like, from the pictures, or like the reenactment, that it could be like a family van. So, yeah, it wasn't like a work van, like those white vans. It was more like a family van of leisure or whatever. And where he was found was about 20, 22 miles away from, like... No, I'm sorry. The van was found 20 to 22 miles away from where Perman lived. But he was only found like 7 miles away from his address. So to me, it sounds like he was on his way home, very close to home. And then someone, what happened? Like, did someone flag him down? But what's also interesting is they don't believe that he was killed right there in the ditch. They believe he was killed somewhere else. And then he was, like, dumped in the ditch. And what's also interesting is that they believe that he was at least naked from the waist up when he was shot, because the bullet holes, there was no cloth. Like, no evidence of, like, clothing or anything like that.
Huh.
So it's like, why was he... Yeah. It's just odd. And so... There's like three theories, okay? Initially, police thought that it was a robbery, and this is Claremont County police. They did work along with like Brown County and Adams County as well. So they're all kind of working together, because the vehicle was found in Adams County. So they thought it was robbery, but then once they got into the van, they saw that all of Perman's tools were there. Like, so $3,000 worth of, yeah, like, and his watch was there. And then, like, the tools weren't just, like, there. They were, like, in a toolbox, too, of course. So, yeah, somebody would have stole that stuff. Now, Joanne, Perman's wife, she thinks that his death had something to do with drugs. Not that Perman was into drugs, but Perman was asked several times. He was approached by these men to help them, like, transport drugs. I guess, you know, they saw that, you know, why not? There's this remote place that someone has this private plane, you know, at the whole town. Maybe they knew more about him. You know, the whole town likes him. He's trustworthy. This would be a good opportunity for someone to transport some drugs for us in exchange for some money. And he was like, no, you know, Joanne said, we don't believe in that. It's illegal. No. And what's also interesting is, well, the last approach that someone had approached Perman about the drugs, it was like within a year that Perman died, that he was murdered. And there was like a big like investigation, like task force thing going on of drug trafficking, like in the county or whatever.
Oh.
Yeah, and it happened to be that one of those men that approached Perman about flying the drugs elsewhere was being investigated. So, yeah, hello. And Vernon's brother, who lived, I believe, in California, he had came in to testify in front of a federal grand jury about some drug trafficking and things like that. So the other thing that Joanne was thinking was that maybe Perman was murdered as a warning. Like, hey, you know, Vernon, you need to keep your mouth shut. And family members told Joanne. So what happened was, when Vernon came in to testify, he went down to the Claremont County Courthouse, or Hamilton County Courthouse, to testify. And Perman waited outside of the courthouse for his brother. And family members, there was hearsay that there was a man following Perman, and Perman just couldn't shake the guy. Like, he just couldn't lose him. So was that guy there to make a hit on Perman? Was that another thing? And then the other thing is, they thought that maybe it could be like a crime of passion. Like, maybe Perman had an affair with one of his clients, you know, that he would go service at their house or whatever.
I was going to say an affair.
Yeah. But Perman's wife was like, no. Like,
of course she would say no, though.
Well, but, and I agree with her too. Like, the way that he was murdered, you know, usually if it's a crime of passion, like, the circumstances are different.
But his shirt was off. He could have been.
He was naked.
You know what I mean?
That's a good point. He was naked.
It was close in the chest and he was beaten.
Yeah, like, well, I'll just go ahead and say Charles Armstrong, which was Perman's best friend. They were best friends for like more than 40 years. He had to go and identify the body. And he said that Perman's, like, someone beat the shit out of his face. Perman's eyes were so swollen and his nose was really broken. So someone really beat him up.
Yeah, it sounds really personal to me. It just seems like a lot to, because someone would say no to drug trafficking. It just seems really weird.
But it's just so weird how, like, the brother is involved in testifying in front of a grand jury. And then, like, Perman's father, he thought that maybe because Perman had testified, did, like, jury duty for, like, a grand jury about a week or so before he was murdered. No, it was about a month or so, I think. But he did this grand jury for a week. So Perman's father was like, well, maybe somebody that was tied to that case murdered Perman. There's just all these different little theories and what ifs, if, you know, that something just doesn't add up or there's not evidence to follow it up.
Yeah.
My gosh, that has to be frustrating.
Yeah.
And the thing is, too, is like, they couldn't figure out, like, between Joanne and Perman's father, they said that he was such a nice person. Like, Joanne said that, quote, he was not one to place himself in jeopardy when it came to his relationships. He was very outgoing, a cut-up who liked to joke, but a kind gentleman everybody seemed to like, but someone somewhere didn't like him.
Right.
I mean, it just, I don't know. None of it makes sense. And then, like, even the father said, quote, he got along with everybody and everybody thought a lot of him. If he had an enemy, I wouldn't know it. And then there was, I believe this person, her name is Charlotte. She was like a neighbor or a client that, you know, would receive service. She said that Thursday, so Perman was murdered. He went missing on a Saturday. He was found on a Sunday. So that Thursday before this happened, she saw him and she said that he looked shook. Like, normally he's not a person to divulge his problems onto someone else, but he was very vocal about that something was wrong. She said, you know, he never showed his own problems. He was always concerned with others. So makes you wonder, why was he
said something? Yeah.
Yeah. What did he exactly say? Or was it just a weird reaction? Like,
yeah. Well, obviously he probably didn't see anything.
Yeah.
Which sucks.
So yeah, there's those three theories there. Crime of passion, the drugs, and then robbery. And like I said, you know, immediately they ruled out the robbery. And you know what gets me too is that I was reading this other article, and this article was printed in July of 1982, and 78 people had been reported missing in Claremont County. So it made me think, like, is there any connections? Like, how are these people that are all kind of the same age in their early to late 40s, why are they just gone missing? Like, there was a woman that always a routine schedule. And just she comes up missing and they find her dead.
Weird.
Like, yeah, there was a $25,000 reward posted. As of 1984,
like a lot of people.
Yes.
78 people. That's a lot of people.
It does. And like, I don't know how really big Claremont County is, but it does. And like the article, you know, it was detailing people like this name, this age, and like this person was seen. It's just weird. And if the county was involved in drug trafficking or some kind of mafia or organized crime.
Yeah.
And so like, and then also like, they said, like, there was, like, a follow-up in 1984. No new developments. But, like, a total of 240 people were questioned. That seems like a lot of people to be questioned, too. 240?
That is. You know, I keep thinking about him being naked. That seems like they want him to be him blah, 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 embarrassed.
Yes.
And you know what I mean? Like, it's degrading.
Yeah, and Joanne said kind of the same thing, too, on Unsolved Mysteries. She was like, that really bothered me that he was naked.
Yeah, that just seems like, I don't know, that's kind of taken far there. I don't know.
But maybe you have a good thought process going on there that what if, like, he was having an affair with a woman and the husband came home and shot him?
Right. Like,
I don't know. You would think, so like, you would think too that at this point, someone would say something. And that's what their ultimate hope is that maybe someone has died and that the person that's scared to say something will come forward.
I don't know.
In November of 2011, you know, advances in technology and things like that had come about. So they tried like processing. They did find fingerprints and hair samples in the van and they tried to process that. Nothing came back, which is unfortunate. And then in 2015, a deputy at the Claremont County Sheriff's Office was like, hey, let's post the story and post an article from 2011 talking of, you know, what I previously just was talking about, the new technology with forensic evidence or whatever. Let's post that article and just see if we get any hits or whatever. So they did. They posted this article from the Ledger Independent and details about, you know, what they found, the murder and things like that. They included pictures of, which I don't think I mentioned this before, but there, Perman had a wallet that had the, had a Mason logo on it, or a Masonic logo on it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, he also had a belt buckle with the logo on it. Those two things were missing. And then his clothes were never found. So they posted pictures of those items, a description of what exactly he was wearing. And, you know, like I said, hoping that maybe something new would come along. And then, like, the chief deputy that was on the case at this time as of 2015, he said, quote, what we think may happen is that whoever may be suspect may eventually die and a second person with knowledge could come forward. At least it could be a resolution of the case. New technology has also been used to test materials gathered on the case from his body in the van, but a recent test did not yield results. So, and he continued to say, we have a very big, extensive file. It is very in-depth, but not enough. Hypothetically, in a crime like this, we theorize many scenarios until enough evidence is found. But in this case, there was no actual smoking gun to follow. So that's all we got. That's where we're at. You know, here it is, 2024. And
nothing you can
still Google his name, and he's still out there. People are still actively talking about him, but it's sad because Joanne died in 2012. She never got an answer, and then their son Herman died in 2000. And guess how old he was?
46?
45. Wow. So close enough, right?
Yeah.
So for any information, Perman's van was a brown and cream two-toned 1979 Ford Chateau Club. It is very square-shaped, like the van, the body shape, the windows. There's windows all around it. It was found on Ebenezer Road in Adams County. And Gilbert had brown hair, brown eyes. He was wearing dark blue uniform pants, tan cowboy boots, a light blue shirt with a name tag that read Gilbert with a GE emblem on it. He was 6'2" and weighed 200 pounds. Anyone with any new or old information, and remember, doesn't matter how small you think it might be, they are suggested to call Chief Deputy Leahy, it's L-E-H-Y, or Sergeant Chris Stratton at 513-732-7545, and that's the Claremont County Sheriff's Office.
You should post that on Facebook.
For sure. And I'll post a picture of Perman.
That's sad. All these years, yeah. Never had answers.
Right. Yeah.
That's wild. And,
like I said, you know, we've talked about so many frustrating cases too. And it's just I want to know.
Speaking of the story that I covered last week about the little girl that was left alone for 10 days while her mom went on vacation.
Yes.
The sentencing will happen Monday, which is the day this episode's released. So if you're hearing it day of, I'm going to keep an eye out on that verdict and see what she gets.
I hope that bitch gets life.
Yeah, me too.
Is this like, what state was that in again? Do you remember?
What state was that? I can't remember.
It wasn't Florida, was it? I don't think so. My point is about that, though, is the bitch should get, like, the death penalty.
I know. Or, like, I think we should put her in a dirty playpen for 10 days with nothing.
With dirty-ass diapers, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let her starve to death.
Mm-hmm. That's what I think.
So many people are outraged by this story.
Yeah. I'm definitely going to keep an eye on it, and then I'll post on Facebook, and we'll give a verbal update too the next time we do another episode for those who didn't see it on Facebook. I'm dying to know what she gets, though. It better be good.
Is there a certain time that, like,
I don't know. I'm going to have to look. I'm going to see if they're going to, I don't know if they'll have it like on Law and Crime Network. Live or anything where we can watch it. I don't know. I'm going to have to see and look into that. I'm not for sure. But yeah. So that does it for this episode.
That does it for this. Yeah.
I hope it gets solved. That's sad.
It's like, it's been like 40 some years.
Yeah. Those kids grew up without a dad.
Yeah.
All the stuff. Yeah. It's horrible. And if you're a Patreon member, we're going to have this month's episode also available after you listen to this. You can hop on over on Patreon and hear that one. It's about a murderous fantasy becomes reality. That's the title. So
see, we kind of made it up to you where it's a little bit earlier. You have to wait till the last day of the freaking month.
Right. I try to be proactive. But okay, so we'll end this here. And then if you guys are on Patreon, hop on over there. And if you're not, you should really check it out. Because, I mean, for as little as $3, there's a whole bunch more episodes on there.
Every time you say that, I think of, like, those commercials.
For as little as 50 cents a day, you can save, I don't know, this dog.
Yeah, like Sally Struthers. Was it Sally Struthers, like Feed the World or whatever?
Yeah. It does sound like an advertisement. It feels like it at this point, but I'm trying to drill it in, yeah. That's worth looking into.
There's so many great stories.
$3.
Just ask Melanie.
Something dollars. Just get it.
Melanie will tell you to subscribe.
Anyways, we are really close to meeting our goal on Facebook. Well, our first goal on followers, and we need that number up just a little bit more. So if you can invite your friends to like and follow the Facebook page, that would mean so, so much. Thank you in advance.
And also, please go to our Facebook, and there's a question on there, like, who would you want to interview, like, as far as a crime person? Like, it can be a murderer, it can be somebody who is just a plain old criminal. I want to know, like,
that's a
where
good
people
question.
Think about this. Yeah.
I like it. All right. Until next time, goodbye.
Bye.